Hey friends, welcome to Naked in Truth, the podcast that's designed to open up your mind, to help you break down walls and barriers in your life that you might not even know exist yet. But don't worry, every wall that we break down together on this podcast allows you the opportunity to level up and create your impact. With that being said, I think it's time for us to get honest, vulnerable, and naked in truth. Well, hello, 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 and welcome back to the Naked in Truth podcast. It is your host and your coach, Sari D. I know it's been a hot minute since I dropped a podcast episode, but I promise y'all it is for a good reason. I had spent 2 weeks in the Dominican with my babe, and we were celebrating our 5th wedding anniversary and my 30th birthday. It was truly an incredible trip that I will never forget, but in all the good moments, there was definitely some things that went down that will make for a very good story. So I'm going to be going over my complete story of what took place in the Dominican on next week's episode. So make sure to stay tuned for that, guy. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. We are going to be covering being sober curious. Now, I am seeing a massive trend right now of much more curiosity coming forward in regards to what sober living, sober life really looks like. If you've been following my story, I have had a very tumultuous relationship with alcohol, and I'm so excited to share my expertise, my knowledge, and most importantly, my story, because I know it's going to resonate with so many of you guys. Whether you're somebody who's currently sober right now, but you have that pull and tug of, is this the right decision for me? Maybe you're somebody who casually drinks, but you've been really curious about what that sober life could bring. And maybe you're somebody who drinks somewhat excessively, and you feel like you're constantly hitting roadblocks and challenges in your life because of alcohol, but you're just not sure how to make that change. We're going to be diving deep into all of these things. And the most exciting part is I am not just here to give you a coach perspective. I am here to give you my personal perspective. There is no bias. It is raw, real, and relatable. And I share my story because I want you guys to be able to not have to go through as many hardships as what I have. The whole point of this podcast is to bring different people in different walks of life telling their story of how they've made it through trials and really made it to victory. Because without the challenges that we go through in life, we're not going to be able to continue to level up who we are. We're going to become very complicit when it comes to assessing ourselves, really recognizing our potential for growth, and really just choosing ourselves that we are worthy of more. Because sometimes we just get comfortable with what we're currently doing, even if it doesn't make us that comfortable. We're scared that making a change is going to be more uncomfortable than where we currently are. But I can promise you that making that uncomfortable change is what can bring you into more comfortability, more confidence, and just feeling more empowered in who you are as a person. So to start off this podcast, I actually want to go over an article. It's by the New York Times that was just posted 4 days ago. It is about alcohol-related deaths in America, and the title is Alcohol-Related Deaths Surge to Nearly 500 People a Day, CDC Says. So what I want to break down in this article is really the timeline, okay? They're comparing stats from 2016 to 2021. And I think we all can think of what took place in between that timeline, right? We had that massive pandemic where our entire lives were changed forever, because here we are 4 years later. And unfortunately, I don't see a lot of things getting better. I see a lot of things getting crazier. And that's where I'm here to voice for the people of, we're going through a lot of the same thing. It might look different, but when it comes to life, we're currently overstimulated and we don't know how to manage our stress. And a lot of the time when we don't know how to manage our stress, we lean into bad habits, whether they're as simple as maybe binging on junk food to as dangerous as, you know, drinking alcohol excessively. Now, when we're looking at these stats in this article, they're comparing that in 2021, about 178,000 people died from excessive drinking, compared to about 138,000 in 2016. So during that time period, the deaths actually rose by 27% among men and 35% among women. These are huge numbers. And what is even more interesting is that they're noticing that binge drinking has increased among middle-aged adults. I know that we all were young, you know, partied while we were young and loved to binge drink sometimes. But the older that we get, the more dangerous it becomes. And it's just crazy because, you know, getting into my 30s now, I look at certain people that have been in my life and the people who used to be the life of the party, just like to party for fun, you know, didn't really think much of their partying. If they're continuing to party the way that they are, it's now becoming more of a closet thing. They're now trying to hide how they're partying. They're partying more by themselves. And when I'm saying partying, I'm saying they're trying to deal with their emotions and their stress through drinking, drugs, stimulants, sex. The list goes on and on. Today, we're going to stay on the focus of drinking, but among people 35 to 50, majority including millennials and Gen Z, binge drinking was at its highest level recorded in decades. I firmly believe that this has to do with us not knowing how to manage our stress. So with that being said, we'll go over drugs in another topic or in another episode, but it is a completely different topic. And I just want to stick on alcohol today. So I really want to encourage you guys that if you have had something pulling on your heart, feeling like drinking isn't right for you, I want you to recognize that there's a reason why you're feeling that. My story is a little bit different because I started drinking so young. So I will give you guys a bit of a background story. I came from a family that was actually alcohol-free. They were all on their own sober journey, both my parents. I've never seen my parents drunk before, and we never had alcohol in the house. So that's quite different compared to other people that were in my life where their parents were maybe drinking quite often. Maybe they had alcohol in the house. And when you're around that type of exposure, it gets you curious as a kid because you feel like if everybody else is doing it, well, I should be doing it too. And that was something that I struggled with for so long, but we'll get into that. So right when I was young, you know, I would be in the bath playing, like, let's just say making magic potions while I'm using the soaps and whatever else I had in there. Whereas I know some of my friends were playing bartender. And that sheer difference is by seeing what's happening in our household. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but what I'm saying is that your kids are always watching. I know that there's tons of parents listening to this podcast, and I don't think that we recognize how much of an influence we are on our children sometimes, no matter how much we think we're hiding things, no matter how much we think that we're handling ourselves well. And as a coach, I'm always telling my clients, like, your kids are watching. They know when you're sad. They know when you're happy. They know when you're looking after yourself, and they know when you're not. Many parents skip meals while they feed their kids and put themselves last. And your kids are watching that. They're intaking that. You know, mom controls her. Mom makes sure that she skips meals. So once they start getting into that preteenage, they might start skipping meals too. And the same thing comes to light with alcohol, right? And especially because alcohol is so present in today's day and age. It's at any restaurant. You know, kids are able to go into some bars and pubs. We have alcohol as a community social thing, right? We have it during the holidays. There's so many instances that we have alcohol in our life, not recognizing that our kids are being imprinted with these messages, thinking that they need to do that for social activity too. Now, this is not me condemning you if you are a parent that drinks in front of your child. It is not a big deal. But I just want to talk about these things because sometimes we don't recognize our own power. And when it came to my own story, I started drinking at the ripe age of 12. And I mean drunk. The first time that I ever drank, I definitely got drunk. I ended up passing out in a different room than my girlfriend. And her parents came home that night and she was wondering, like, why are you guys in separate rooms? And of course, we made up some sort of a lie, them not expecting that we would be drinking. But the funniest part was that, well, and not funny, but peculiar, I guess we'll say, is that I struggled with depression from a very young age. And that depression was coming from a hormonal imbalance and, you know, some traumas that I was going through, as well as just a lack of self-worth and self-belief. So as soon as that alcohol hit me, and especially coming from a lineage of people who were struggling with alcohol, many alcoholics in my family that all were recovering, which is great, but it's something that becomes dangerous. And I started playing with fire at such a young age, because as soon as that alcohol hit my lips, I felt like I had freedom. I felt like, because I hated my day-to-day so much, that I was able to be somebody else, that I was able to not have to be myself. And the craziest part about that is, you know, I was so young. I didn't have a lot of stress. I didn't have a lot of responsibility, but I did have a lot of self-hate. And we look at adults and everything that's happened since the pandemic, stress levels being so high, being overstimulated, feeling overworked, not looking after ourselves properly, feeling like everything's out of control. Alcohol ends up becoming a substance that we feel like allows us to be in control. But in my story, and maybe not in yours, it really just spiraled everything out of control. It turned me into a person that I never wanted to be. And my biggest thing that I've learned in my own journey is that there's a direct correlation between your relationship with yourself and your drinking. So is there, you know, danger when you know that you come from a family of alcoholics? Absolutely. But I think more than anything, nothing is more dangerous than not having a good relationship with yourself and involving alcohol. If you're trying to use alcohol to improve your quality of life, that is a key indicator that you might need to pull back, that this isn't necessarily giving you the solution that you're going for. And even if things are going all right sometimes, there's a lot of room for there to be a lot of hiccups, a lot of backlash, a lot of roadblocks, and a lot of challenges in regards to feeling okay with who you are, actually taking time to assess who you are, looking after your life properly. With me starting so young, I was drinking before many people even thought about drinking. And like I said, I didn't have the stress in my life. So it's funny thinking about, imagine that being an adult, hating yourself so much, having all these responsibilities. You just want to be able to let loose because you feel like life is just always a challenge. It's just always work. But so much of that comes from feeling unfulfilled with your life. And as I went through the years, my alcohol abuse just got worse, right? You know, it went from not just alcohol, but into drugs, because when I was drinking, I would always do things that I said that I wasn't going to do. It made me have a poor relationship with my peers because of the crazy things that I did, because I would get myself so drunk that it literally just got to a point where it was blackout all the time. Because as soon as it hit my lips and I started to get to that tipsy point, it's like I just couldn't stop. I needed to keep going. And I know that that was a lot of the fact coming from, I didn't want to be me anymore. I didn't want to feel like I was living my life anymore. And alcohol gave me that escape. So throughout the years of 12 to 17, I had many stints where I would quit alcohol for a few months, then it would trickle back into my life, then it would be maybe a year, trickle back into my life. And I really recognized that everything that I was trying to escape from, it didn't allow me to grow or face it head on or be able to get out of that cycle. It just continually made it worse and worse for me, solely for the fact that when I would wake up the next day, I hated myself even more because of all the dumb shit that I did while I was drinking. Then fast forward to 17, I graduated young and I decided that I was going to get sober. And this sobriety lasted for 7.5 years, which is a long time to be sober. But I'm going to tell you guys that I didn't just make it out of that addiction to alcohol at that time. And those were some of my hardest years because I quit drinking before everybody got into the bar age. Then, you know, from that 18 to 24-ish, those were the years that people partied, right? I stopped getting invited to things. And I think a lot of that really had to do with personal relationships with people who were drinking, that me not drinking made them feel inferior. But it made me feel inferior that I wasn't invited to so many things solely for the fact that I wasn't drinking. It didn't mean that I wasn't fun, but that's what it made me feel like because of the not being included. And so it really got me so hyper-focused on everything that I wasn't, thinking, why can't I be normal like everybody else? Why am I not fun unless I have alcohol? You know, why am I not liked unless I have alcohol? Why is it that, you know, in my relationships that I had over those years with men, that they wanted to drink sometimes and I couldn't have that because I felt so shitty about myself still that I really needed to do that personal development work and change myself internally to recognize that the whole time it was a relationship with myself. It wasn't the alcohol. It's just very interesting being able to look back because people think like, damn, 7.5 years of sobriety, like that must have felt so good. But actually it was so fucking dark. It was so lonely. It was so many fights with myself. It was blaming myself. It was feeling like there was something wrong with me. And that's what I want so many people to understand, where if you are sober, there's nothing wrong with you. Just because society is saying that, you know, alcohol should be everywhere, that doesn't mean that it should be, because so many people are struggling with who they are internally and they're turning to alcohol to try to find that, and they're losing themselves further. So more than anything, I want to make sure that the sober person currently recognizes that if you need to do anything right now, it's not to drink, it's continuing to work on your self-worth and recognizing that any type of substance is not going to make you a better person. That comes from within. And maybe there's some healing that needs to happen there, because maybe there's things that you haven't forgiven yourself or others for, because maybe you didn't feel included. Maybe you didn't get the invites. And I have always said on this podcast, just because everybody's doing it does not make it the right thing for us to do. If people are doing things in the masses, a lot of the time, that's the shit that we should stay the farthest away from. Now, after those 7.5 years, I go and get married to the love of my life. We're at an all-inclusive. You know, we had our family there for the first week, and then the last 3 days, it was just us. And alcohol has always come to tempt me, right? It was my first time going to an all-inclusive as an adult. So the alcohol was everywhere. And for the first week, I watched everybody around me drinking, even though there was probably only about 11 of us there and two other people weren't drinking. So it's not like I was completely alone, but because I hadn't healed what I needed to heal with my own relationship, it didn't matter that there was other sober people there for me who had been sober for like 25 years, like insane accomplishments, but they didn't feel the pull to drink because they dealt with whatever that insecurity was inside of themselves that really had nothing to do with alcohol. And once the family left after the week, my husband and I were having a great time. It was the second last night that we were there, and we ended up playing a game. And it was too funny because it was a game where we were all in the pool and they set up this cutout where it had a small little circle for you to be able to throw a ball through. And we would all stand in a lineup. You had 3 tries to be able to get this ball through. And it literally took everyone. So everybody went through a turn. It was a long lineup. Nobody was able to get it. Then we're going through the second time, and I was probably in the middle of the lineup. And the first time I threw, I missed it. Second time I threw, I missed it, and some asshole behind me told me to stop throwing like a girl. My husband said I just like perked up my spine. It was the motivation that I needed, and I whipped that ball through. And everybody in the pool was just screaming because there was like 30 of us in this lineup trying to get it. Times that by three, times it by 1.5. And that's a lot of tries to try to get that damn ball through. So what are the chances that I end up winning a bottle of wine? And that was it for me. I was like, hey, I need to do this. Like, I need to see where I'm at with my relationship with alcohol. Because so many people said, you were so young while you were drinking. You probably only blacked out because you were young. Yada, yada, yada. Everybody's opinions really don't mean shit because they don't know what's going on in your head. And here I am thinking like, I need to do this. So I go and crack the wine, take a sip. And I was like, ugh, this is disgusting. But I was like, it sparked something in me. I got a bar where I can go and order whatever it is that I want. And I did. I didn't even get really drunk that night, but I felt liberated. I felt amazing that I went and was able to go and have some fun until the next day when I was like, what the fuck did I just do? I just broke 7.5 years sobriety. And most importantly, how am I going to break this information to my mom, my best friend, my number one support, somebody who's sober, somebody who literally picked my ass off the ground multiple times, dealing with my hangovers as a kid, trying to keep my ass in the house, but I was so damn defiant that I was just lying and sneaking around all the time. I went into that sobriety knowing that I was making her proud. And I knew that with breaking it, like, what does this mean now? Well, I had decided that alcohol was something that I needed to have in my life. And so I broke the news to mom, and, you know, as disappointed as she was, I'm an adult. There's not much that she can really do. I'm 25 years old at this time, right? And so I ended up incorporating alcohol more into my life, which was not great timing because of the fact that I was just starting to get into my fitness career. Alcohol ends up making you feel sluggish. It brings on the emotions of anxiety and depression solely for the fact that we don't know how to manage our emotions when we're feeling the way that we are hungover from alcohol. Studies have shown just 1 to 2 drinks per week can bring on these emotions of what it really comes down to is feeling unworthy and not being able to manage our stress properly. Then, you know, it dehydrates you. It brings on all of these cravings. It messes with your hunger hormones. It makes you not want to go for your workout the next day, maybe even the next few days. It is so much sugar. Our bodies don't know how to properly digest alcohol. You know, it can be extremely hard on our kidneys. All of these things that I already knew, but I decided to keep it in. And then it was when I decided to do my bodybuilding competition that I was like, hey, I got to quit alcohol again. So I quit it again. And, you know, I went through the next year, I think it was, sober again. And I really enjoyed what I was able to accomplish during that time. But to be honest with you, my husband was drinking and it made me feel inferior in the relationship. It made me feel like there was something that I was missing still. And that's where I just genuinely want to encourage you guys to recognize these patterns. It's not my husband's fault. It's not my friend's fault. It's nobody's fault, not even the alcohol. It's the way that I'm feeling about myself. It's these limiting beliefs that I had about myself that made me keep drawing back to alcohol. So now I want to speak to the person who casually drinks. You know, if you're feeling like you are casually drinking to bring something into your life, like happiness, maybe it's feeling like you're more talkative and it's easier to be social. Maybe it's that you think that it makes you more fun. Maybe it's that you think that your friends aren't really going to like hanging out with you unless you have those couple of drinks with them. Guys, it really comes down to being confident in who you are and believing that if you're getting any type of feeling where you're questioning this, you need to follow it. You need to figure out where that's coming from. You need to heal these limiting beliefs about yourself because alcohol isn't helping you find it. And it's something that can take over so quickly that you can lose so much of what you've worked towards in such a small amount of time. And all it can take is one night of heavy drinking to fuck up your entire life forever. Whether it's that you choose to get into a car and you end up killing yourself or somebody else, maybe injuring them severely. Maybe you make a poor decision and it affects your relationship. Maybe it's that you go and have sex with somebody that you really didn't want to have sex with and you had it unprotected and now you have an STD. Like, these are real things that are happening to people behind closed doors. And I just genuinely want you to, more than anything, feel confident in who you are without a substance and recognize that what you're feeling rings so much deeper than to what your friends are doing, to the alcohol itself. It comes down to what you need to heal within. And when it comes to the remainder of that story, I started drinking it again. And this time, it's like I felt more in control of my drinks. I didn't feel like I needed to get drunk. I could, you know, maybe have just one or two and be good. I loved that, you know, as I was older, I was drinking more responsibly. I wasn't drinking until blackout, which is something that I did in my youth. And it still didn't feel right. It still just didn't sit with me because I still felt like a fraud. Like, I'm like, I still don't feel like this relationship is where it should be with alcohol. And I don't think that everybody who quits drinking should go back to drinking. I think that my story is very unique because of how young I started drinking. And I think that that's where a lot of the insecurities came in as well, was quitting drinking while everybody started drinking, right? So once I decided that, you know, I can keep alcohol in my life, but in a moderation, I pretty much came up to this trip. And guys, I have done so much personal development work. I have done so much healing. I have done so much mindset growth. I have done so much forgiveness to myself, to others. And there's still so much that I can grow in. But this trip to the Dominican, I have never felt more liberated and free from alcohol in my life. I didn't feel like I needed to drink all the time just because it was there. I didn't feel the need to get drunk every single night. Like, literally, there was only one night that I ended up getting drunk. And on a 2-week all-inclusive, like, that could have been a shit show. And I just came out of this trip really feeling like I got the closure that I needed with alcohol, simply for the fact that I've put in so much work to myself that I'm no longer victim to it. I no longer feel like if somebody's drinking that I'm missing out. I no longer feel that temptation where if alcohol's there, I'm thinking about it. You know, like when I was back in that sobriety phase and I was in my like early 20s and I was living on my own with my husband. We weren't married at the time, but I would get this non-alcoholic wine because I felt like I just simply needed to be drinking, which is so silly. And at that time, I was in a sales job. I was working in hospitality, and you have to wine and dine your clients. And it felt so awkward feeling like I needed to say to them that I didn't drink, because the first question that always comes up is, well, why don't you drink? And this is where I want to normalize not fucking asking somebody that. You know, people have been through hard shit with alcohol. First things first, it's none of your business why anybody chooses to do anything. Second of all, it's not something that we should be condemning people of simply because it's something that we do. It's never something that we should question just because it's something that we do. You know what I mean? Just because I go to the gym and somebody else doesn't go to the gym, I'm never going to be like, why do you not go to the gym? Like, that is such an interrogating question. It's nosy. It's rude. It's, we shouldn't be questioning other people on decisions that they make in their life, especially the why, unless you're genuinely close with them, unless you genuinely care. But a lot of the time, these questions came out of judgment. It wasn't that people actually cared. It was that they were nosy and they wanted to know the juice. We find too much joy in other people's hardships. That's another topic. But I want to start normalizing not asking people that, not caring if somebody else is choosing not to drink and you have one at the table. So if you're in a position where you, for your work, you have to go out with clients, you need to wine and dine with them. Maybe you go to family gatherings all the time and you feel like your family's always drinking and you're not drinking. It can get to a point where it gets in your head, and that's where you know that you need some healing inside, because we cannot be comparing ourselves to others and feeling like we're inadequate because we make different decisions. You know, I had a great conversation with my client and she feels like she's outgrowing a lot of her circle because they're dramatic, because they like to gossip, because they're always complaining. And I resonated with that so much because of the fact that it is normal to outgrow people, okay? It's okay if you want to change your friend group, if you feel like they are literally bringing you down. Because when we are all on this life journey, some of us choose to grow, some of us don't. Some of us choose to grow at different rates, and some of us choose to not grow at all. And it goes back to that podcast that I did on friendships a few weeks back. You know, a lot of the time, the only reason why we're hanging around the people that we're hanging around is because they've either always been there or because they do the same thing as we do. We feel like we're understood and that there's no judgment when people are doing the same things that we're doing. But what I really want to ask you, if you're the person who's drinking and chooses to not invite the person who's not drinking out, if they actually want to hang out with you, who's the one who's inferior, right? Why is the person who's not drinking making you feel uncomfortable? Why do you need somebody to hang out with you to drink because you think that they're more fun? Are you concerned about being judged? Because a lot of the time, the reason why the person isn't drinking is because they don't like who they are while they're drinking, and they know that they can be even more fun and their authentic self when they're sober. These are really hard questions that we genuinely need to talk more about, because there's a reason why people feel pressure to drink. And it's because of the way that other people treat them sometimes. And like I'm saying, a lot of it comes from the healing that we need to do within. And that is so much deeper than just on the level of alcohol. But we don't like to stand out. That's why a lot of people don't give their opinions that are maybe different to others, because they're scared of judgment. They're scared of looking different. It's easier to follow the sheep and all look the same. But that's not going to always give you the fulfillment in your life that you're looking for. It's definitely not going to give you the growth, nor is it going to bring you the community that you actually want to be surrounded by. And so I know that my story with alcohol is a lot different than most, but I came back after this trip in the Dominican and I couldn't wait to not drink again. I didn't feel like it was something that I needed to do. I would like to drink while I'm on vacation. Maybe if there's a special holiday or an occasion, I might have one when we go out for a dinner if I feel like there's a drink that's actually worth the $18 that they freaking charge nowadays. Aside from that, like, I really don't care. Getting drunk on a weeknight or drinking to a point where I know that I'm, because like just a few drinks and you're not the same, you know, you might have a slight headache. You're definitely dehydrated. You don't have the same energy or the clarity or the drive. I have so many goals right now and I refuse to lose due to alcohol that doesn't bring more to my life. Seeing that there is so many people struggling with alcohol right now, whether it's that they're dying from overconsumption, whether it's that they're closet drinking by themselves, whether it's that they literally are drinking every single weekend, it doesn't surprise me. And it's because people aren't learning how to manage their stress. People aren't feeling fulfilled with their lives, even though we have more than we ever have. People feel like life's so hard, even though we have the least amount of challenges to get things done. You know, technology has helped us so much. Like, think of way back in the day when you had to eat your, or literally hunt for your meal, or else you're not eating. Like, shit has gotten easy, but shit getting easy makes us comfortable. And really, we're uncomfortable. Our brain is programmed to literally go through challenges. That is what it's programmed for. But yet we just keep trying to make our life easier and easier. And the easier we try to make it, the more challenges we're going to personally make. So maybe that means that we start having a piss poor attitude. Maybe that means that we start leaning on substances. Maybe it means that we're creating a lot of stress in our life that we don't actually need to be holding on to. We will start creating problems out of nothing solely for the fact that we need to be challenged. So why not put forth those challenges in ways that will actually positively impact our lives? I just genuinely know that so many people are struggling with alcohol, not just because of my experiences, not just because of the shit that I see when I'm at these all-inclusives, not just for the fact that I am observant, but I'm also a coach. And I get to see how often people are drinking, where their struggles are coming in. They'll put so much effort into the week, and then they let it all go on the weekend. And then Monday, they're beating themselves up, and it's this reoccurring cycle over and over and over again. So many of them wanting to be sober. And I just want, if you're a client of mine, to encourage you that if you're feeling any type of way in regards to alcohol bringing something into your life that you feel like is missing, or if you feel like it's in your life and you'd like to see a change, you're worth it. Okay? There's so much more to you. There's so much more to life. And I can promise you that you're not going to find that fulfillment in your current life with alcohol. It's going to be that much harder to be happy with things that you do have. And the saddest part is that until something really bad happens, until something gets taken away from us, we don't realize what we have. And that's a really, really shitty way to have to learn a lesson. I really hope that this podcast resonates deep with so many of you guys. We are so much more than alcohol. And just because everybody chooses to drink, or what feels like everybody, there's a ton of people who don't. And what we need to get back to is learning how to love life, learning how to love life without alcohol, learning how to love life without all these devices in our face all the time. We need to go back to the old school days where we have genuine conversation with each other. When was the last time you whipped out a board game? We don't know how to enjoy life without these things that are actually taking away the quality of our life. I can promise you, alcohol does not make you more fun. I can promise you that alcohol might seem like it gives you more confidence, but if you videotaped yourself for that whole night, you'd be sheer embarrassed. I can promise you that alcohol doesn't strengthen your friendships. I can promise you that if you're willing to look deep down inside as to why you're feeling inadequate and you need alcohol, it's going to allow for you to meet a completely different person than you've ever known before. And with all of the stress that's taken place, with all of the changes since the pandemic, I can promise you that leaders of this society want to see you go down. The only reason why I say that is because they're not investing into our health. They're not investing into programs that help rehabilitate people. Do not even get me started on the drugs that they're giving out for free. I'm about to get into that in a whole other podcast about what we need to be doing about this homeless and drug addiction crisis that Canada and the US and many other countries around the world are experiencing. But when we're used as an example of what societies should not be used, and I'm speaking about Canada directly, about what societies should not be doing to create a substance addicted society, there's an issue. Things aren't changing in the right direction, which is where we need to take the self-responsibility and recognize that just because we're being told something, just because we can see alcohol everywhere, just because it feels like everybody around us is using alcohol in their life, it does not mean that it's the right decision for us. So I would love if you guys enjoyed this podcast to see you post it to your story. Share it with friends and family. This is a message that needs to be heard. We need to be able to stand strong and recognize that we're going to have a much better community if more of us recognize this and decide to take this self-responsibility, create some self-awareness, and create the life that we truly want to live. This is what's going to bring together a stronger community as a whole instead of a broken society. So if you decide to post this to your story, tag at Naked and Truth Podcast. You can tag my main account at authentically.fit and I will repost your story. I know that this is going to be a big episode for so many people. So I hope that you guys got so much value. There's a lot of exciting things that I have coming in the future, like possibly maybe 2 podcast drops per week. Not possibly, not maybe. We're doing it, guys. So this means that I will catch you on Thursday.
And that's another honest episode dropped. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Naked in Truth, where we come together every Monday morning to set the week off with intention. Don't forget to head over to our Instagram page, at Naked in Truth Podcast, to stay up to date on future episodes, guest speakers, and other kick-ass info that can help you continue to create your impact. And you know that reviews are so valuable when it comes to building a community of like-minded people. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please drop some love on Apple Podcast reviews and share this episode with someone who you think needs it. Thank you guys so much again for tuning into today's episode. I'll catch you next Monday. And don't forget, love always wins.